All right. So hello, everyone. I was told that there was no last speaker, so here I am. I improvised this in 5 minutes, so apologies if they are a little bit like this. So I'm here to talk about the problem we have and ask for help for how. Sorry. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about our problems for collaborative dataset annotation in a very particular area of sciences, which is paleoclimate. and that's it. That ended the slideshow. That's fantastic. That was quick. Yes, indeed. So before this, let me bring you a little bit closer to my problem and my area, which is environmental and paleoclimate science. These are the people who study like past climates. And the problem here is that every single scientist collects data in a very idiosyncratic manner, and it's collected by independent people. There are hundreds of types of different observations. There are hundreds of types of measures, and there is a great diversity. So in general, it's very, very difficult that one goes and says, okay, I'm going to try to create a standard so everyone uses a common vocabulary, because it's a titanic task. So what are the challenges? I mean, we are trying to make people agree on how can this be done using collaborative tools. We want them to annotate their data on demand. Basically, we want them, if they want to describe something, they don't have to understand all the semantics of anything. They just can use whatever they feel more appropriate for annotating a data set. And we want to we want them to achieve this task in a consensuated way. So what we need is something that that allows us to keep track of these changes and help them as well describe their own data sets. So what we have done so far is that we have created a platform for metadata crowdsourcing using semantic wikis. We have proposed a control standardization process within the wiki, and we have a framework as well for keeping track of the evolution of how the vocabulary is continuing. So I'm going to go very quickly over the framework. I'm aware of the time, and the idea is that we have a framework for annotations where basically basic editors can propose changes to their own datasets based on what the properties that they find appropriate. Then advanced editors that know a little bit more about semantics can propose more complex changes to the properties. And then we have like an editorial board that can discuss, once they want to do a release, what are the changes that everyone's agree on, and do a proper new release on the ontology that basically updates the whole wiki space. And we have done this in a semantic wiki. And the idea is that we can describe this, well, we have a little bit well-defined vocabulary proposed by the community. So this is based on the Semantic Media Wiki. I'm sure that you are more or less familiar with these kind of interfaces. We foster a little bit the standardization process through adding different functionality. And basically, we have a platform where we can visualize, extending Semantic Media Wiki, all these kind of things to foster collaboration. At the moment, we have more than 14,000 pages with all the users from this community, which, even if it doesn't sound like a lot, it's a lot for having such a small community. And what we want to do, and the reason why I'm doing this presentation, is because we want to transition towards from Semantic Media Wiki towards Wikibase. Why? Because we have seen all the fantastic tooling that people have been presenting around. We want to benefit from Wikibase and connect to Wikidata. And my questions here are, I'm not only open to suggestions, but I'm also looking for feedback on how to continue and do this process, which is, how can we go from Semantic Media Wiki to Wikibase, how can we link better to Wikidata, and how can we contribute part of the knowledge that we have already been collecting by all these people back to Wikidata. Thank you very much. And if you want to collaborate with us, we are hiring, so talk to me.
We have 3 minutes for questions.
Hard question, because when you want to link two databases together, you have technical stuff and the license. What is the license here? Is it compatible with Wikidata?
Well, every data source that they are putting on our platform is open source, because what they want to do is share the data. They are also looking for citations, so probably it would be CC BY or something like that, but it's open data. And also another discussion that is that whether they were sharing software or not, right? Because they have also a plethora of tools that deal with these different formats and deal with the different operations that produce actually the data and the new interpretations. So they are also willing to open these things. Some of them are a little ashamed of the code, and it's kind of but what we tell them is that put it online, because you don't know whether I mean, you know, everybody knows that you are a researcher, you're not a software developer, right? So even if it helps one person, that's enough. And whenever you put it online, now there are tools like that help you link GitHub with Zenodo, for example. You can do proper releases and you can get the appropriate credit for what you have done. And well, who knows, maybe some people start using your tool and you get additional benefit from that. No? Nobody wants to collaborate with us? Huh? Okay, well, then thank you.
Thank you very much.
Pues no sé, esto tiene que estar rotísimo. Joder.
So, are all the speakers of the second session for Lightning Talks here? Okay. We have six.
Yes, I do. Okay, thanks. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Yamo, okay. Eugene, Stacy, Andrew Gray. Yeah, I just wanted to check if they all. Magnus, Saligo.
Magnus not here yet.
Right.
Okay, so this talk is about the FAIRD principles and how they apply to Wikidata. If you haven't heard about the FAIRD principles, it's a set of principles that have been compiled by the research data community, or some subset thereof, in order to provide some generic guidelines on how data should be prepared in order to facilitate sharing and reuse. And the word FAIR is usually written in four capital letters, which stand for the four main components of those FAIR principles, which is that they should be findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. I need to navigate a little bit here. They have been published in a paper that is linked from here. And why is it important? Because now more and more research organizations actually say that the researchers that they support should provide the data in FAIR formats. It's more and more a requirement by research funders, by institutions, also by some databases. And my main claim is that, it's not just mine, we are collaborating, right? It's just me standing here. The main claim is that Wikidata fulfills all those criteria. I will walk you through briefly through the list. If you zoom in a little bit into those four criteria, you end up with a list of 15. and basically you can tick them all off if you know Wikidata. And this means, which is my main message, that it doesn't fit on the page here. Researchers might be more interested to actually work with Wikidata because that is the penultimate line here. Research data as it exists right now usually fails in several or even most of those criteria, and sometimes really massively fails in them. So let's briefly have a look. So findable. Metadata are assigned a globally unique and persistent identifier. If you take the entire URI of a Wikidata entity, that is the case. And it's the case for Wikidata properties and Wikidata items, so tick. The data are described with rich metadata, defined by R1 below. So let's go to R1 first. Metadata are richly described with a plurality of accurate and relevant attributes. That's basically the statements, right? And so the metadata about the data, well, Wikidata, you can argue as to whether what is in Wikidata is actually data or metadata. We're somewhere in between for most cases, but roughly it means, yes, we're doing this, right? F3, metadata clearly and explicitly include the identifier of the data it describes. Yes, if we do it, like if we say Berlin is capital of Germany, then Berlin and capital and Germany all have their identifier. F4, metadata are registered or indexed in a searchable resource. Yes, you can search Wikidata by Elasticsearch, you can search it by Sparkle and by other means. Accessible. Metadata are retrievable by their identifier using a standardized protocol. Yes, if you type in the Wikidata identifier or if you use the API to access it, you will end up on that page, maybe with some content negotiation. The protocol is open, free, and universally implementable. Yes, the protocol allows for an authentication or authorization procedure where necessary. Actually, basically, it's not necessary for Wikidata. You can do anonymous edits, but if you want to use the API, things like that, or some of the tools like the OAuth tools, Magnus's tools, you need authentication. Yes, we have it. A2, metadata are accessible even when the data are no longer available. We're actually failing on that a little bit for the properties that have been deleted and for some of the edits that have been deleted for copyright reasons or things like that. But by and large, we meet that criterion as well. Interoperable. Metadata use a formal, accessible, shared, and broadly applicable language for knowledge representation. Well, this is debatable. we probably meet this in many areas, but in many others, this is debatable, partly because some of the broadly applicable language that is out there is not openly licensed, so we can't really use it. In other areas, they don't even have anything like that broadly applicable language, and so we are now inventing that. So it's complex. But to a large extent, we already meet this criterion. Metadata use vocabularies that follow FAIR principles, which basically means, again, the ontologies themselves should meet all these criteria. And since our ontology lives on Wikidata, yes. Metadata include qualified references to other metadata. Well, yes, yeah. That's a big part of what Wikisite does. Reusable, we already had R1.1. R1.1 metadata are released with a clear and accessible data usage license. Well, yes, CC0. R1.2, metadata are associated with detailed provenance. Well, we try. Very often it's still from some Wikipedia, but yeah, we're getting better. Metadata meets the main relevant community standards. Well, yeah, that's again different across domains, but in some domains that's the case, especially those that have actually made available their main ontologies under CC0. And so this means that we have a set of things that the Wikidata community cares about, that a chunk of the research data community is starting to care about. And so this is a very good conversation starter in terms of engaging with research-relevant data. That's my main message here. So questions, comments, welcome.
One small question regarding the persistency of the identifiers. Is there any plan or commitment from Wikidata to saying, yeah, I mean, we ensure that these identifiers are not going to change and we are going to maintain them for this amount of time or not?
I'm not aware of anything, let's say, official that would give any indication as to how many decades they plan to do it. On the other hand, nobody has a plan to shut down Wikidata, and as long as the money is around, it will probably be around. So in that sense, it is not as persistent as you would wish for. On the other hand, most scholarly databases are even worse because they depend on project money, and once the project ends, they don't have funding for anything like that. And Wikidata, since it's basically financed by its users, even though through Wikipedia, as long as it's useful to the users, it's bound to be around. So that seems to be a more sustainable model than many others. And maybe on that basis, Wikidata could be a bit more explicit about how long they plan to maintain it. That's something we could tell them.
No, it's just that sometimes I've been having this conversation with librarians, right? And they always laugh at me whenever I say that I am creating persistent URIs, because they are saying, persistent for how long? I mean, I work at a library where my persistence identifiers have been there for hundreds of years. And they're not
globally unique. So if you put all those things together, then they haven't been doing this for much longer than we have.
But well, that's also debatable, right? Because your identifiers are globally unique to Wikidata. They are not also globally unique.
If you take the entire URI, they are unique globally.
Well, obviously, but there may be a lot of redundant things. Like they can be very redundant with other things or the entities in the linked open data cloud, for example, right?
Okay. Yeah. So, take home message for me: make Wikidata more aware of the need for persistence. Thank you very much. A message I think is important. You want to say something?
So also on that issue of persistence, of course, there's. You know, the issue that anybody can edit something and change the meaning of it, and you can also merge items and leave redirects.
But that's not covered here by the FAIR principles. So even though that doesn't actually say anything about quality of the data,
right?
Nor does it say anything about like when you should be sharing. So, for instance, I'm working in infectious disease context where it's very important that you share the data actually. Early and not late, and see, here those principles, they would apply even if you share them in just 10 years from now or so. They don't make any assumption about that. So this quality aspect is relevant for data sharing in general, but it doesn't fall under the FAIR principles. That's why also a number of groups have come up with extensions to the FAIR principles that take into account additional parameters, like you should be sharing rapidly, you should be sharing quality data. There's a whole alphabet soup developing around these FAIR letters.
But it does relate to the issue of persistence, because the identifier pointing to something may change just because of a merge.
But the version has an ID as well, to which these principles apply, and then as long as you cite the version, you're fine.
That's true.
Or the version of the dump. Every dump has a unique identifier as well. So we can make that argument, but only if we don't look in detail enough.
Yeah, I think these principles are great, but they're also more complicated than they seem. So.
Yeah, well, they also make no recommendation as to how to implement them, right? And then once you start implementing them, those questions pop up and they need to be addressed.
Thank you very much.
I'm Yasunori Yamamoto from Japan, and I work for Database Center for Life Sciences. And today I'm talking about rare disease in Wikidata and items in Japanese. Okay, so in Japan, we call rare disease is intractable and rare disease. And in Japan, more than 7,000 rare diseases are there, and each is less than 0.05% of population, but overall there are more than 70%, one in 70% in Japan. So the amount is about 7.5 million to 10 million persons in Japan are suffered from rare disease. So the definition of the this kind of rare disease in Japan is here. The cause of the disease is not clear, and also the treatment method is not established, and long-term cure is needed. So even though there are more than 7,000 rare disease in Japan, currently the government determines only 330 diseases. So the if this kind of disease are determined by government, the patients suffer from these kinds of rare disease can benefit or ask for financial support for medical care. So, but the currently the Japanese government still considering which kind of rare disease can be designated to get financial support for rare disease patients. So in the fiscal year of 2015, this figure, 943,460 persons were registered and can get financial support for medical care. So for this kind of information is published in HTML, PDF, or XML, XSRL, so in English and in Japanese. But if you can read Japanese, this repository is very helpful, and there are many documentations of what kind of disease are there and how can they ask for financial support, or there are links to the patient's community pages. But it's only in Japanese and no links to any other English or other language resources. So. But the disease are not in only in Japan, that all of the people can be suffer from this kind of rare disease. So I want to share this kind of knowledge beyond language boundaries. So and to tackle this kind of disease, all of the stakeholders, the researchers, government, and clinicians, patients, and also drug companies can be shared knowledge to tackle this kind of rare diseases. So I want to share by using Wikidata. So Wikidata is a hub of knowledge sharing. So if you can search for this kind of rare disease, there are many links over already there. And also I put another classifier, this kind of stuff I added. So by using this classifier, you can search for which kind of rare disease are registered in Japan. So we can share this kind of stuff by using Wikidata. It's kind of an infrastructure for knowledge sharing. So this is an example I added for this. Okay, here. So this disease designated in Japanese government, and there are subclass of disease or syndrome. Okay, and this is a rare disease, and so you can check these properties here. So now currently, of 309 designated intractable rare disease in Japan, only 171 English labels, and also only 108 Japanese labels in Wikidata. So I'm now adding these labels into Wikidata. But there are many difficulties because there's some diseases are not corresponding English labels. So I have to check the English labels and Japanese disease labels more comparable or equivalent, or if not, we have to ask for a clinician or doctor. Okay, so future is, so we also want to make more patient community links from Wikidata, or also links to Medugen. It's kind of a data resources for genetical information from National Center for Biological Center in NCBI in the United States or Amazon, also in addition to the Orphan Network or MIPA or UMS. Okay, thanks.
Have 3 minutes for questions.
Do you know if there are projects anywhere else looking at designated classes of disease like this other than just in Japan? Is anyone else doing that work, do you know?
Oh, other than me?
I mean, outside of Japan, do you know if anyone's doing this for designated classes of disease anywhere else?
Outside of Japan? I'm not sure, sorry, but I want to know if you know. Oh, yes.
There are groups in the U.S. that are doing it. I believe GARD, G-A-R-D, I don't remember what it stands for, but it's something rare diseases. And Orphanet also stands for like something rare disease something. So there are a couple.
Thank you.
We have Orphanet IDs on diseases in Wikidata, but only on ones that are linked to disease ontology, so it's not the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. And GARD, we want in Wikidata, but there's issues.
One more question? Okay, then thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Eugene?
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Eugene Havan-Villar, and I am both a Wikimedian and an OpenStreetMap contributor. So what I'll be presenting to do today is a very, very quick overview of the state of collaborations and ideas between Wikidata and OpenStreetMap. So usually when we introduce OpenStreetMap, we tell them that it's like Wikipedia for maps. But I'd like to actually tell them that OpenStreetMap is like Wikidata for geographical data. That's the reason for that is because that OpenStreetMap and Wikidata are the two most similar projects in the Wikimedia among the Wikimedia projects. So here you have a map, but actually with OpenStreetMap, we emphasize that you have access to the raw data, not just pictures or images of maps. You have access to the actual raw data. And while Wikidata has items, statements, properties, values, and qualifiers, and things like that, in a similar way, OpenStreetMap has nodes, ways, relations, tags, keys, values, etc. Very, very similar ideas. Actually, data modeling discussions on the Wikidata project chat page are actually quite similar to discussions on OSM's tagging mailing list. And we both suffer from issues on ontology, how to model or how to classify objects and stuff like that. The reason for that is that because both projects are what we call folksonomies. So just to give a brief overview of how OSM is used in Wikimedia. Well, for example, obviously we use OpenStreetMap to create maps that can be used to illustrate Wikipedia articles. Here's the first known use of OpenStreetMap in Wikipedia. So somebody just did a screenshot of OpenStreetMap, pasted it into the Wikipedia article on Weybridge. This was way back in 2006. And right now, the foundation is now has developed the Cartotarian MapTal service, which consumes OpenStreetMap data and produces map tiles. And these map tiles are used in other services, such as the Cartographer MediaWiki extension and other interactive maps on Wikimedia projects. For example, on the right side, you can see an interactive map on the Berlin page on the English Wiki Voyage. So the map tiles there are based on OpenStreetMap. In addition, in Wikidata, you can link to corresponding complex OSM objects using the P402 property or the OpenStreetMap relation identifier. Unfortunately, you cannot link to smaller or simpler OSM objects because IDs in OpenStreetMap are not very stable. In addition, there's also the OpenStreetMap tag or key property, which links corresponding concepts in Wikidata to the corresponding OSM feature. How about Wikimedia in OSM? Obviously, OpenStreetMap being a contemporary of Wikipedia uses a lot of technology and ideas from the Wikimedia universe. For example, the wiki, the OSM wiki uses MediaWiki, and through that we have access to images from Commons. And the OSM wiki links to Wikipedia and Wikidata in order to clarify map feature definitions. For example, in order to tag adits in OpenStreetMap, you have to know what an adit is. So we have a link to the Wikipedia article on an adit, a picture of an adit on Commons. And down at the lower right, we have a link to the corresponding concept on Wikidata. In addition, the OpenStreetMap Foundation has actually copied or borrowed or derived lots of processes and ideas from the foundation. For example, the local chapters agreement was taken straight from the Wikimedia Foundation's template agreement. And the currently draft trademark policy of the OpenStreetMap Foundation is actually modeled after the corresponding policy from the foundation as well. In addition, OSM objects can link to corresponding Wikipedia articles or Wikidata items using the Wikipedia or Wikidata tags, respectively. For example, here's the OSM page for the Berlin object in OSM. As you can see, we have the Wikidata tag Q64 and the Wikipedia link to the Berlin article on the German Wikipedia. So some examples of collaborations between Wikimedia and OSM communities. Wikimedia Italia is the local chapter of both the foundation and the OpenStreetMap Foundation. As far as I know, this is the only case where in the same chapter is both a chapter of the of both communities. And next year, Wikimedia Italia will be co-organizing the State of the Map 2018 in Milan. So State of the Map is the annual conference of OpenStreetMap. Mapbox, which is an OSM-based company and which is also a sponsor in today's Wikidata conference, uses Wikidata to help with the localization of their map products. So if you attended the Lightning Talks yesterday, Purnima gave a talk about their multilingual maps. And right now, Arun is giving a workshop on how to edit OpenStreetMap in Room E. So you can head over there if you want. User Yurik, previously a staff member of the foundation, created a SparkQL query service that combines both Wikidata and OSM by using the OSM, the Wikidata tags in OpenStreetMap. And this has been used to, in order to surface or find out data consistency issues between Wikidata and OSM. So that's an example, a query on the right side showing OSM objects that are linking to Wikipedia disambiguation pages, which should not be the case. So let's go to challenges. So one of the things that's being asked is, can we share data between Wikidata and OpenStreetMap? In the one direction, Wikidata cannot wholesale import coordinates from OSM because OSM is licensed under the Open Database License. And Wikidata is CC0, so we cannot do that, obviously. What about the other way around? Supposedly, Wikidata is CC0. You can import that into OpenStreetMap without any problems? No, because the OpenStreetMap community has decided that it's our principle that we do not import data from Wikipedia because of issues regarding coordinates that were taken from Google Maps and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a lot of we can discuss this later on, but I don't have time to elaborate right now. And lately, there has been some pushback from the OSM community against bulk adding more Wikidata tags into OSM. If you look at the discussions, they sound very similar to the objections of some Wikipedians against using Wikidata in Wikipedias. As an example, there's a recent thread this month. Could we just pause any Wikidata edits for a month or two on the OSM doc mailing list? So yeah, there's a lot of challenges and some distrust or skepticism in the OSM community regarding using or collaborating with the Wikidata community. And that brings me to the end of my presentation. Are there any questions?
Not really a question, but a comment. Yesterday, I gave a lightning talk on emergency response by the Wikimedia community, and that is inspired in part by what OSM does. Mm-hmm. And so I would just repeat what I said there, that it's really important to think what these different organizations can actually do together, because OSM has figured out some ways to leverage their community in response to disasters. We do it in different ways, but less efficiently so far.
Thanks. I guess I have a couple of questions, but one is, what would make it easier for Wikidata and OpenStreetMap to work together? Is there, because I think it's, you know, I think this is one of those cases where this is a separate project that is great working on its own, but together we can do a lot of things together, as you've shown some things. But what's missing that would help?
Well, I'd like to think that the reason that why there's some mistrust is because there's a misunderstanding or people just don't get each other. So it's I think it's important to have more collaborations in order to explain how our community works, how our project works, and vice versa, so that the more people understand each other, the more they can see that there's a lot of things that can be done to work together and make things better between the two projects.
Okay. I mean, that's so more, not so much technical things, but people sharing.
Yes.
Things. Yeah. And I guess my other question was, we've had a lot of stuff imported into Wikidata from geonames. What's the relationship with, I don't really know much about how they're all related, but it's a different project, obviously.
With geonames, I think that's a public domain data set that tries to collate place names and geographical data. It's a different these, because I think it's more top-down compared to OpenStreetMap, where OpenStreetMap is actually crowdsourced, although GeoNames has now a crowdsourced component, but yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, hello. So I'm going to talk today about a campaign, the Music in Canada at 150 campaign that's just wrapped up this Friday, and we're just sort of untangling our results. And just to give you a little bit of background on this campaign, this came out of a linked data project that I started about 2.5 years ago, very starry-eyed at the beginning, where I thought I was going to be linking to all kinds of external sources having to do with a folk festival in Canada, so folk musicians, and I very quickly realized that there was nothing to link to out there. And there was no identifiers in VIAF, there was nothing in Wikipedia, so therefore nothing in Wikidata, and this just got me thinking about what does that mean for the sort of cultural landscape in Canada when we talk a lot about, I work in the library, as a cataloger, we talk a lot about linked data, but what does it mean when we actually don't have that sort of linkable hub available? And so what I did is pitched this idea to a bunch of music librarians. So there's a Music Library Association in Canada, and we have an annual meeting, and I was giving a presentation about this problem, saying what should we do, and how should we try and fix this, and should we get involved in Wikipedia projects? And out of that came this idea that we would have a year-long campaign to add content to Wikipedia and Wikidata, because this year, 2017, is the 150th anniversary of the Confederation of Canada. And so it gives people something something to kind of organize around. Also helps because there's funding available. So we came up with this campaign, and really centered in music libraries and specifically in academic libraries. And the idea was to sort of explore this idea of what it means to be active in that space for librarians. So what did we do? So we were able to get some funding, and we're very grateful to the Wikimedia Foundation for moving this project forward. I was also able to get some funding from York University's Canada 150 Fund. And And the first thing we did was have a steering group of 7 librarians and 2 advisors, people who had worked doing editing campaigns before. We did a workshop ahead of our annual conference in May, which was a fantastic event. We had, I think, 28 people come out for a full day, including Wikidata hands-on workshops. We developed some tutorials. We did virtual tutorials, webinars that we recorded. We created presentations and many, many conversations, which is not easy to do because we are quite geographically far apart in Canada. And just this past week, so during Open Access Week, we ran 10 editing events across Canada. And I think we edited a total of 150 articles and something like 25 new articles. But the results, I think, I don't want to concentrate too much on the number of articles edited or the number of things created, because it was really more about getting people thinking about what to do in this space. And we actually did have a lot of interest in Wikidata. And so one of the results going forward is that at the Memorial University in Newfoundland, they have a recording label. And so what they did during their editing event was brought spreadsheets of their recordings and had people working on adding that content to Wikidata. We also have people who have looked at local festival information and adding it to Wikidata, and they're wanting to do this moving forward. So one of the things I'm interested in exploring is ways that we can support this, because we don't have a lot of local chapters that are able to help out, and people are really wanting to understand. So there was questions around, well, I see this property, but I'm not really sure how to use it. I'm not sure how to use the tools. So I'm looking to this community saying, documentation would be fantastic. Again, sort of going back to that tool idea, and then really looking for how we can say sort of the use cases or compelling use cases to get people working in the space, because there's interest, but there's some question of how to actually move it forward. And I'm done.
We have 3 minutes for questions.
So last week here in Berlin, there was a cultural hackathon called Coding Da Vinci, where some musical data was also shared. So there was the Concert House of Berlin shared 10 years of basically the concerts that were on their schedule, roughly. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering whether, well, with the year of activities, Wikidata-related activities, something like this would prompt an idea in your head as to what could be done there. So I'm not part of that team. I just remember that data set. I was thinking about what to do with it, but I didn't have any idea.
Yeah, I think so. So some of the work that I've been doing in particular with one of my colleagues, Dan Scott, who's at Laurentian University, is actually modeling festival data through looking at programs. So that's, we've got all that data about when events were, who was there, and then the location. So doing models along that way, I think, is really compelling, because that's the kind of data that's not often in library catalogs, but is really, really useful for all kinds of reasons. I hope that answers your question.
Looking at in terms of the coverage that was already in Wikidata, how much of what you were wanting to work with did you find was there already, or were you creating most of what you wanted to model?
So not a lot. So again, because it's coming from Wikipedia, mm-hmm. most of it really depends on what those articles are. And what I found was that for Canadian music, there's actually not very much, or what's there is quite shallow. Mm-hmm. And when you have things like events, for example, or ensembles, the members of an ensemble. So while there might be an article or an item for a band, you might not have the individual members or how they're related, or when members came in and out mm-hmm. of a band. So it's what we're starting to look at is modeling members of a group, and then their sort of end and start dates and that kind of thing. So there's some, but when you look at Canadian content, it's actually pretty shallow.
Cool, thank you.
I know we have very little time, but do you have even a quick anecdote of encounters you had with the Wikidata community in venturing into that space and adding items, doing modeling, et cetera?
Well, I sat down during Wikimania. So I was at Wikimania and sat down actually with Beat Easterman, and we talked about modeling cultural heritage events, or he was working on theater data. So we've had a few conversations about how that would work, and then how to sort of work that through the Wikidata community. And
were there any purely online interactions, you know, on discussion pages, or kind of, you know, declaring, you know, here's what we're working on,
yeah,
and getting
yeah.
any feedback?
We started actually online, I guess. So the conversation started on the Facebook group, and then went sort of offline to email, and then exchanging papers and discussions. And then in person in Montreal.
Okay, thank you very much.
The clicky thing.
It's always exciting when you get a clicky thing. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about is Wikidata as a source of authority control. We've talked a lot over the last 5 years about Wikidata being aligned with authority control, Wikidata, you know, being matched against it, but we're getting to the point now where it can be used for it in its own right. So Wikidata holds, these figures are as of lunchtime on Friday, 3,655,332 different people. It went up by 7 while I was counting that. About 80% of those have at least one date. So they have a birth date or a death date, or they have a flourish date, or we know what day they were baptized, or we know what date they were buried. We know something that pins them down to some point in time. And we know that about 70% of them have a place in some way. So we know what country they're from, we know their birthplace, we know a workplace, something like that. And about two-thirds of them have a position, an occupation, a job. Again, something that gives a sense of who they were and what they did. So altogether, we have a lot of people. That's the first thing. We have an awful lot of people. But we also have enough information to disambiguate most of these people. So to a first approximation, 2.5 million people, we can tell you something more useful than just their name. In other words, we have our own authority file. This is the basic requirement for an authority file, is to have names and something to tell you who they were. And there are 2.5 million people in it. That's amazing. That's a wonderful thing. But it's not the best bit. The best bit is that we bring in all the other authority files, which is the work we have been doing. Far too much work that we've been doing, but we've done it. And of these 3.7 million people, almost a million are in some kind of bibliographic authority database. So they're in a library catalog, they're in VIAF, they're in Library of Congress subject headings, or something like that. About a third of a million are in databases of performers. So they're in IMDb, they're in MusicBrainz, they're in something like that. 150,000 are in visual artist databases. Most of those are in the Union of Artist Names, but they're in Getty or something like that. 100,000 are in national biographical databases. 60,000 of those are in the UK, but there's a lot in Sweden or Canada or New Zealand where we've matched those databases. And about 70,000 are in some kind of databases of politicians. Again, these numbers are all quite low. The real number is probably higher. I've just picked the biggest fields for each of these. So that's the sort of the top 7 national biographical dictionaries, the top 6 bibliographic files. And so we can do very extensive cross-matching. To take an example, the 60,000 people in the Oxford Dictionary National Biography, which is a data set that Charles Matthews and Magnus Mansk did exceptionally hard work matching, 40,000 of those people, excellent, are in VIAF, in the Integrated Authority File. 14,000 are in the UK National Portrait Gallery as pictures or as sitters. And 8,000 appear in the British Museum, somewhere in their database of people associated with the physical artifact in some way, the donor, the owner, the person who found it in a basement. But also there's 323, I think, identifiers. 323 different databases have an identifier that matches to someone in that. This is an astonishingly rich set of cross-matching. We'd never have found it without the serendipity of Wikidata. And we can also enhance these records. So again, to look at the Oxford DNB, 16,000-17,000 of those have an image in Wikidata. 13,000 of those have a link to a family member. The dictionary doesn't model family member links. It models other people who are related in some interesting way to this article, sometimes. Doesn't tell you if they're the father, the son, the sister, the brother. And 20,000 of them have a birthplace with some kind of coordinate for that birthplace. So we can put them on a map. You know, this is fairly straightforward stuff by Wikidata standards, but for the perspective of an external authority source, it's great. So what do we end up with when all is said and done? The real key thing is that we end up with Wikidata as its own general purpose authority file. We can take a random list of people without their own identifiers, we can match them against Wikidata, we can get something useful out of it. We can use the queue number as an authority record in its own right. We have a central spine for linking external records to. So we can attach these 60,000 Oxford DNB records in, and we find 300 different things that it connects to. we can enhance those records. So if you've done your authority matching into Wikidata, we can enhance them. We all know this. But the part that really excited me is this last one. We are now getting to a position where we can generate authority lists for a given topic from Wikidata. So in the last couple of years, I've been working on British politicians. And one of the strange things is that we know who everyone who's ever served in the British Parliament is. There is no single list of them in any accessible place. There's one list that goes back to 1832 that you can find. Great. There's another list that goes from 1832 to 1660 you can find. Great. There's another list that goes from some other date to some other date. They don't exist in a single place. We are getting to the point where Wikidata will be that authority list. We are getting to a point where we have the data that we can generate our own authority files. And anything where we know that we have complete matching into Wikidata, we can produce a standardized authority list from that. We can produce authority lists of people who have played international football for Scotland. We know we have them all. So we can do a bit of Sparkle querying, we can do a bit of data massage, we can produce a list of 5,000 people, however many it is, with the dates, with the names, with the alternative names. That is an authority file in its own right. So this is, I think, a really exciting development that we're getting to because we've put all this work in. This is emerging out of it. Thank you. Is there questions?
So we've heard a bit about the development of the concept of signed statements on an individual item as a way of proving the provenance of this fact is real, it's complete. Is there anything to make the concept of an authority list authoritative? We need to be able to say that someone has said that this query result is complete. Not the individual item or even the statement in that item is member of Scottish football team, for example. How do we say, in order for a third-party organisation of some repute to be able to embed that information or base some decision on that information, that query, how do we say that this list, as of this day, this Sparkle query result, is true as a result, because it's not an individual fact, it's the result of a query. I'm not sure if you understand that question. It's more meta than the individual statement.
And I don't know an answer to it, and I would love to know one. So at the moment, one thing I've wondered about is if we model essentially Wikipedia lists in Wikidata just as things, like this is a category of politicians, or this is a list of footballers or something, and we don't currently make a link between that set of things and a Sparkle query. And at some point, what we want to do, I think, is link between an item that describes a group, a Sparkle query to identify all the members of that group, and, as you say, some way of saying we know that this is a complete thing. So there is a property in Wikidata that can be applied to identifier properties to say this is a property that is complete. So if you look up the property for like one of the ISO country codes, you can attach a property to that property to say this is complete. We know that all the members of this set are in Wikidata. Or you can attach a property to say this should be complete. We haven't done it yet, but we think it's going to be. Or you could attach one, for example, on Viaf. There'll be one that says this is never going to be complete. We are never going to have all the members of this set. And we apply that to properties at the moment, but I think conceptually there's no reason we could not apply that to sets. We could say, you know, the set of mountains over a kilometre high. We could define that set is complete in Wikidata, and we just need to find some way of authenticating that claim to be complete. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, it's the we just need to find some way of.
Yes,
is the question.
But at the moment, we can authenticate nothing in Wikidata.
Because we could import that query result as a Listeria list into Wikipedia. Currently, we can have a list generated from Wikipedia as a Wikipedia article, and you could put a footnote on that Wikipedia article somehow. In the time, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.